Wake Up Call here on WTLS continues. You can watch us live on Tattlesy Times TV, live video, TattleseyTV.com. Check it out. Check out our new website, 1300WTLS.com. It has been updated. There's a lot of new info on there for you. Just log on to 1300WTLS.com. And we appreciate Kirk Adams giving us some time this morning, the district attorney from down in Dale County. Geneva County covers as well, but where all the news has been for Alabama and across this country as people have watched over the last week of what happened down in Midland City. Kirk, good morning, and thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Good morning to y'all as well.
Yeah, appreciate you doing this. I know you've been working tirelessly yourself following what's been happening since this broke last week. Tell us about, you know, if you can, what has happened in a kind of a synopsis, you know, over the whole course of the week and how you've had to work with it with the people around you there in Dale County.
Right. Well, of course, originally, you know, the phone call went out that there was somebody on a bus shooting, and that's what I got originally. And by the time I arrived on scene, it was obvious that the bus driver had been killed and Mr. Dykes had taken a young boy captive. And so for the rest of the week until yesterday, I was on the scene basically treated as a capital murder case and a kidnapping. So I was there assisting the Alabama Bureau of Investigation with a criminal investigation, although it was very much hampered by the fact that he had a captive and there was not a whole lot you could do. But we were able to call in other resources, and the FBI, among others, brought in resources all from all over this country. And, you know, you hear a lot, I guess, or stereotypically, that these agencies don't get along together, but everybody there worked so well together. And I don't think this could have been a success story if they had not have been able to do that. And everybody there had a little something to add to this. And the next time I hear somebody complain about wasting federal tax dollars, I'm going to tell them I saw some good use of it. And if they hadn't been there, I'm not sure how this would have turned out.
You're probably, in your mind, as a district attorney, mounting your case, I guess, against this man. And then we see what happens yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the, you know, and everybody on the investigative criminal side has to do that. Of course, you know, there are certain groups there that are negotiating, trying to allow, you know, to get him to let the boy out. But there's also groups there prosecuting the case. There's a federal prosecution going on as well for a, you know, a carjacking and possible gun violations. And so you're working on that end of it. But what everybody there really hoped was just that Ethan was going to be safe and set free. And by ever what means, if Mr. Dykes wasn't going to do it, then I trusted that the experts were going to get it done, and that's exactly what happened.
Now, explain to us, you know, as we watched the press conference last night and we saw you there standing in the background, your sheriff there and the FBI representative were discussing, you know, a lot. Most of the answers were, we can't talk about it. There's an investigation going on. What, I mean, now that the man is dead, really, do you have to, is there a report that has to be put out there? What exactly, once, you know, the kid is now safe, and kind of we look at it, as Gary said a little bit, there's a sense of closure this morning.
Well, kind of. But what we have to do, or what I have to do as a district attorney, is a report will be gathered both by the Alabama Bureau of Investigation and the FBI on the actual shooting itself of Mr. Dykes.
Right.
And that will be reviewed by me, based on all the facts and circumstances, whether that was a justified killing. And that's what has to be reviewed first. And, you know, without giving a lot of details on what may or may not happen, typically if I review it and it's justified based on all the facts and evidence, then I would make a declaration and that's it. It's over. If there was some question in any kind of case where deadly force was used by a police officer, it could be presented to a local grand jury and they could decide what would happen. That's pretty common because a lot of the smaller agencies use that kind of as a tool to clear their officer, you know, to put them back to work,
right,
or maybe to avoid some kind of lawsuit. But typically it'll probably take a week or two to put all this together, present it to my office, I'll review it, and then we'll make a, you know, public declaration of that. So in a sense, it is a relief. I think the biggest relief as far as a prosecution of, number one, a capital murder case, but all the kids on the bus and the young boy that was released, don't have to go through a trial. And I think that's probably makes me feel, I mean, that does make me feel very good.
Hey, Kirk, it's Gary. You mentioned earlier about the cooperation between the FBI and the local agencies, and how much exactly did the negotiators and some of these other resources that the FBI was able to bring to the thing, how much of a role did that play?
Well, they have access to things and toys that we don't. And they were able to bring these in without question. And they continue to bring people in all through the week, negotiators, SWAT teams, hostage rescue unit, all of these things that we just don't have. And it was such a blessing to it. But Sheriff Olson was always in control here. They went to him on every major decision, and including up to yesterday when they decided there might be an opportunity, and if that opportunity arose, what was going to happen. And once that decision was made yesterday and the process began as they moved in towards this bunker, that was a long and pressure-filled 4 or 5 minutes waiting for that to happen.
How much of the time have you spent there on the scene yourself?
Well, every day until pretty late at night. And, you know, the first day was so hectic, and then by the time, you know, the other agencies came in and it got really under control, most of what I did was spending time helping the agencies do search warrants, asking legal questions, handling the media, making sure, because it was a situation, as everybody knows now, he did have access to TV. And so they had to be very careful what was allowed into the media because he was monitoring that. And they weren't sure what he might say or what he might hear that might set him off one way or the other. So pretty much everything that was given to the media was scripted, you know, purposefully by the negotiators.
I was just wondering, you know, over the course of the week, we've heard a lot of things about maybe possible motives and background with this Jimmy Lee Dykes. Is he a guy that was kind of on the radar for law enforcement officials there in the past?
No, absolutely not. And that was one thing that I think frustrated our sheriff was the neighbors giving reports to national news of how crazy this guy was, and yet none of them had ever reported him to the sheriff's office. So, no, he was not on anybody's radar.
Well, that's kind of interesting because, yeah, there's been a lot of, I guess, questions nationally about all these reports that neighbors have given, and people have said, well, why hasn't law enforcement done something? Well,
yeah, you can't do anything. I heard that last night with Greta Van Sestren, yeah.
Yeah, she said the exact same thing.
Why is that? I guess that's a question. But, you know, there's a lot of people running around out there that have had those type of things they're probably going after. And, you know, who would think they would go to this measure, I would assume.
But, well, if nobody reports it, then law enforcement's not going to know
about
it. But
weren't there some things out on him on menacing charges and
there
all?
Was, he had a pending charge, which would have been last Wednesday, for menacing. That was his only arrest and only thing we knew about. And, in fact, after he was arrested and made bond on that case, there was no other complaints that he had, you know, harassed the person that got the warrant or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, the people on the scene last night, at least in the press conference, did admit that, you know, things kind of turned and they needed to act. They felt like, I guess, they needed to act, and that's why we had that. What exactly can you tell us changed?
I think they had a very difficult time negotiating with someone in his state of mind, and he wasn't being reasonable and started the negotiations deteriorated as far as his attitude.
I'm wondering, you know, also there was this conversation the whole time and about him wanting to have a message. He had a message or something he wanted to say, and apparently he was anti-government and wanted to was it reported that he wanted a reporter to talk to? Is that true? And
I can say this. His demand to have his story told was impossible to happen the way he wanted it to. It just wasn't going to happen. And he refused any other way to get his message out.
Yeah. And Gary's in law enforcement, and we talked about this earlier, but you walk a fine line, I assume, when you got someone who's making demands. Of course, he's got a hostage, so you're worried about their safety, but also I guess you worry about giving a person like this a voice.
Well, true. I'm not sure that was such the negative, but it was the way he wanted to do it, and it wasn't going to happen. It was impossible that was going to happen, and he would not accept any other way to get his message out. I mean, we had hundreds of people calling to volunteer to switch places with the boy and things like that, but it was just impossible. It was not going to happen.
What did you know about the guy? Did you have any knowledge of him being, someone who was in his proximity at all, or from the people you've talked to? What do you know about Mr. Dykes?
Very little. I mean, I listen to the neighbors' reports, but I take that with a grain of salt because they hadn't complained about him before, very little, very little.
And the kid obviously is safe. Do you know anything more? I know that he was taken into a medical facility. What else do we know about that since last night?
Well, Sheriff Olson and myself went and saw him and visited with he and his mother. And God's blessing is he's fine. I mean, he acted like nothing was wrong. It was incredible. And I think it was a huge relief to myself and the sheriff to see that. And when we got back to the headquarters and spoke to the actual people in charge, they were so excited they went to the hospital. And I'm not sure that many federal agents do that, but these two did. And they were so excited when they got back because they saw the same thing. And it made them feel so good that everybody's mission was to get Ethan out safely, and that's what happened.
What about, kind of lost in the shuffle with everything with Ethan or all the other school kids that were on the bus when the shooting of the bus driver initially happened? Have there been any kind of counseling, any kind of efforts in that to make sure that they don't have any, lasting effects from what they saw and what they experienced?
Well, I'm heavily involved with the Child Advocacy Center here in Dothan, and in fact, those counselors are going to the school today. They've been in contact with the parents, and that will be provided for those kids on the bus. And, of course, all kids are different, and some of them may need serious counseling, some may not. But it is there for them. There have been so many volunteers in this area, and the community just came together like you wouldn't believe. In fact, most of these agents from around the country, they all said the same thing. We've never seen anything like this, from the outpouring of food that was donated for the law enforcement to the volunteers that wanted to help, things like that. They've never seen that. And it was just great to see all that come together.
We're talking with Kirk Adams. He's the district attorney down in Dell County and Geneva County as well. I know you've got children that I don't know if did they go to the same school as the kids that were on the school bus?
No. The school bus instance involved a Dale County school, and mine go to Ozark City okay. schools. And I walked out yesterday morning, and something told me yesterday might be something happening. And I walked out, and I looked in the little playroom, and my girls had written on their little grease board, "Pray for Ethan."
Wow.
And that hit me hard. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gary and I both have children, so we know where you're coming from there, and it being so close, how serious it is. Someone called in. He's actually an law enforcement officer himself, and asked, and this is, I don't know if this is a question even for you, Kirk, but, the conversation I'm sure has been out there. What can we do to avoid these kind of things, especially with, when you got kids on the school bus, and it's been talked about in the schools, obviously, with what happened up at Sandy Hook?
Well, I think it's just training an increased awareness of your surroundings. And I don't know if anything could have prepared for what happened here. It's hard to prepare for people that aren't thinking in their right mind. And I don't know we can't go living our lives scared to take a step. But it's just more training. I know they already had a session with the bus drivers here for the county schools. Just kind of more be aware of things. If you have problems on your route, to let law enforcement know. Law enforcement here has given an indication they'll do whatever they need to as far as checking out people on routes, things like that. But it's a tough thing because you want to protect the children at all costs, but sometimes you just don't know where the threat's going to come from.
I'm curious to know for you now, what's your day have ahead of you? Is there still a lot of work to be done on this? Obviously, we talked about, I guess, there are rights for the shooter, Mr. Dykes, who is now dead. But, What do you have in front of you?
The first thing I'm going to do, I have a meeting back. The facility we used as the headquarters is a church. And basically, the preacher opened the door, and he was there the first couple of days, and I think he got a little nervous when he. I mean, they were probably 200 personnel there at all times, and so myself and the sheriff will go meet with him at 10 and see how we can help compensate him for his loss. I mean, it may be some new carpet and whatever, but we're going to have to, you know, satisfy him a little bit, and then maybe take some. Law enforcement guys to lunch, but, you know, just to show our appreciation for what they've done, because everybody out there was away from their family and risked their life, you know, to try to save Ethan, and that's just a great thing. And return the 1 million phone calls I have piled up on my desk. So.
Well, thanks for the time you've given us today, Kirk. I know you got a lot of work ahead of you still, and we appreciate you and what you guys have done, and we're you know, very – pleased with what happened, at least at the end, at least that the boy is safe. Ethan is safe and sound now after this almost full long week ordeal. Appreciate your time again today.
I always enjoy talking to you guys. Thanks.
Hey, we look forward to talking to you maybe about football next time, all right?
Well, hey, signing day's tomorrow, so, you know, have to get in there and check some things out. So.
All right. Thanks, Kirk. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. That's District Attorney Kirk Adams from down in Dale County today, talking about the standoff coming to a close and the 5-year-old Ethan being safe. The kidnapper is dead. Jimmy Lee Dykes, who was 65 years old. We'll come back with more. It's the Tuesday morning edition of the Wake Up Call here on 1300 WTLS and 106.5 FM.